Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master AA Chan. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, the crew of the Midnight Coterie came toward their endgame as we begin Episode 9 of the Dawn of Defiance campaign. Star Wars Sword of the Empire begins tonight. As always, let's begin with an introduction of your cast, beginning with the co-creator and founder of Podzilla 1985, Shannon Young. What'd you point at me?
Oh, no.
You fucked me up, man.
No, it's...
playing Harati Tar is Shannon Young.
I was just informing you should stick it in me, prick it in me, stick it in me, prick it in me. That's... It's the goal.
We've also got with us our Both and Spy, Iris Nay, played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hey, I'm here.
We've got Kruskog Zubain, played by Cody Sandusky.
Everything hurts.
And the picture himself playing Sigurd Talon is Tanner Calvert.
Look, that's what it's going to get tonight.
Stick it in him, prick it in him. Stick it in him, prick it in him.
It's going to be fine. we took a week off. We are... I'm sorry, say it, Tanner.
You might need to change my nickname on here to Four, so that way I'm under the right banner.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Thank you. I got it.
You're welcome.
Got it. Yeah. We took a week off. We are back. We have two... full episodes to go in terms of episodes of Star Wars here before the Dawn of Defiance campaign is finished. So tonight is the first installment of Episode 9, Sword of the Empire, now that we're getting, again, very, very close to the endgame. In case you were not able to watch the live stream there, we will begin with the opening crawl here, just for the benefit of those who are listening. Episode 9, Sword of the Empire reads, "It is a critical moment for the first few willing to stand against the Galactic Empire. Jedi Master Didio, one of the few survivors of Order 66, has fallen into the hands of Valen Draco and the Inquisitorius, a secret division of Imperial Jedi Hunters. Setting out in search of Master Didio, the Midnight Coterie crew finds an ally in Lady Alia Aldreet. The resourceful Alderaanian has provided the transit permits necessary for them to reach the deep core world of Praketh, where Didio is held captive. But Praketh is a more complicated puzzle than it seems. Excuse me, home to a major new administrative headquarters for the Imperial Fleet and the Citadel Inquisitorius. The world is well manned by the Empire's agents of darkness, and those might not be Praketh's only residents." I can't read that last part without thinking, "And those are not our only options, MacGruber."
Well, MacGruber, those aren't our only options. Get on the pantoon boat.
If you guys are tuning in for the first time, it's not the worst place to check in, but you've got an awful lot to catch up on. So, yeah I was going to say, at the very least, you're going to want to go back and get the basics on our heroes. Again, this is episode 9 of 10, so this is a campaign that's now been going for well over a year. Lots to go back and catch up on. But before we begin, our heroes did level up to level 17 at the end of our last go-around, so beware, they are a bit more powerful than in the past. In case I forgot to mention it, because I can't remember when we did that session the other day, everybody's rocking a single destiny point. Harani and Iris have 4 force points per day. Sigurd and Kruskog have 5. So we're almost on the final go-around.
I'm force sensitive, so should I get, 4.5?
That just means when you use them, you get, a little tingle. You have like a little...
Like I got stuck? Thing. Like I got pricked?
Your phone goes on vibrate.
Yes. It's stick it in you and prick it in you.
Just a reminder as well for all of us.
That's the new
meta. We have 3 dice that are involved in our force point rolls now.
Yep.
Oh, you guys thank are up you. To I the actually, final yeah, I didn't know that. Thank you.
Those. Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, so anytime that you use a force point, you roll 3 of whatever die. I think for Sigurd and Kruskog, both it's D8s. Mm-hmm. For Harani and Iris, it's D6s. And then you take the highest of the 1. You only get 1 of them. So better chance to have a 6 out of those is the goal there.
Hey, Cody, guess what?
Hey.
What's up?
I bought a PlayStation 5 yesterday.
Oh, snap.
That's all.
That's it. He did it with those extra credits he got from taking another level in Noble.
Bought it from Scalpers on Intergalactic Scalpers.
Yeah, he had to pay that extra 20% restricted fee.
He gave up all 50,000 of those credits he earned.
50,000 wulons would have cost me.
For a PS5 and a cheese burrito.
This is terrible wine, by the way. Lindsay, I disagree with you.
That's why you got to drink it fast. You got to drink a lot of it. Drink
if
it real
I did
fast. There
that,
you go.
I don't remember.
It's the one you told me to
get. The faster
get.
You,
Well, I also don't drink it, so why would you ever, like, let me pick anyways?
I don't know.
It's a terrible plan.
I'm going in my shell.
So at the end of beyond the crawl, there's some critical information for you. At the end of our last adventure, you heard mention of Lady Alia Aldreet. She is the Alderaanian heiress who sort of puts on a public face of not necessarily being the brightest, but behind the scenes is actually quite capable. And having been able to both charm, woo, and then save her, the crew of the Coterie managed to get from her some critical information and transponder codes to get to Praketh in the Deep Core, where they believe that Denia is being held. Basically, at the end of that adventure, that was the gist of it, and so everyone was pretty much heading that direction, having recouped with the Coterie and caught back up with their crew and everything, and that was pretty much it. It was kind of a fairly tame ending for what was a very high-stakes adventure. So we left off with everyone entering the Coterie, jumping to light space, and that was pretty much it.
Say light space?
In that time... Yeah, I said what I said. in that time, I've been in the dark watching movies for like 6 hours today, man. You gotta give me some slack. One of which was bad. It was real bad.
It was boring.
Also,
I'm not trying to
waste your time watching Eternals. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not trying to interrupt you or anything again, but I thought when you said you were going to go watch the movies, I said, oh man, that's really odd because this isn't a joke. I know it sounds like I'm heading toward a bit, but Resident Evil comes out tomorrow. So I thought,
No, it's out today.
Was it out today?
It was out today. Yeah, wow. It was playing right now.
Oh.
And now I wish we watched that instead of Eternals. Yeah. Because even if it was bad, I bet it would have been more entertaining. I mean,
damn.
Resident Evil looks like it's going to be bad in the best way. It looks like a good bad movie.
Right.
Eternals was just boring, and it's so long.
Yeah.
So long. 2.5 hours. It's one of the longest Marvel movies.
I'm going to be honest. More. That's what I'm afraid of for No Time to Die with James Bond. It's a 3-hour movie.
I never even bothered. I'm just going to
watch
it
home.
Streaming.
You're right. It's a 3-hour movie, now, and I love James Bond, but I don't love him that much.
We chose seeing Ghostbusters a second time and Eternals over, because the third option at the time, we didn't even know Resident Evil was playing, was Venom. We were going to see Venom 2. I wish we'd seen Venom 2 instead.
I would rather have watched that. I watched the deleted scene from Venom, and I know it was a deleted scene, so the effects weren't done, but even that deleted scene, I pulled the cigarette out of my mouth and I said, what the hell was that? Like, I don't know about Venom anymore.
I just feel like I would have at least been more entertained at that.
Well, yeah, Woody Harrelson. Absolutely, yeah. Come on, right? Woody Harrelson. Yeah, come on. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, no, it's fine. It's fine. I wanted to talk about it anyway. Ghostbusters is even better time to. Anyway, so having left off where we did, the crew back on the Coterie, everyone back together. Of course, Narita is still out in the lurch somewhere.
And Ridley.
As is Ridley, yeah. But in general, everyone's back together, relatively healed up and healthy. In the time that it takes for you guys to get patched up and all the things that we did in terms of leveling, basically what I'm getting at is just justify it. Explain in character how your characters have added the new things that they have from levels 15 to 17 healed up and basically what they're doing on this journey toward the Deep Core. And you guys can do it in whatever turn. I'll handle Graz last.
Yep.
Cody, you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I can jump on that.
I'm going to mute this for just a second. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Listen. Kruskog has been, after some of the, I wouldn't say dark side pull, but after some of the bitterness and disdain he had started feeling towards some of the things he had encountered toward the end of this last adventure, having to try to stay undercover for even longer, being thrown in the path of something that they weren't ready to take on, and serving as this, you know, side admission outside of finding Master Denia, left him acknowledging that he needed to come back to his center, kind of become more resolute in what he was. So for Kruskog, a lot of the time that he's had here has been focusing in the Force, trying to increase the tether. There's no teacher, there's no one there to guide him, but it's trying to pull closer to what he has felt internally. And for a lot of his development, if we're equating it to character cheat stuff, it's more Force-based. There's not really combat in anything in terms of his improvement with a light whip or anything of that ilk. More of it is about being able to more efficiently bolster his compatriots and serve as a tool in the missions at hand. in the way that he has done so far, which is focusing upon the force and the energy that he can control.
Hunter's still muted.
Sorry, yeah. yeah, good. That works. One thing I will mention going along with this so that you guys can kind of tack this on to the end of this. One thing that you learned on your way to Praketh. First of all, Praketh is just one of five planets in the Prak system, P-R-A-K. It is an area that currently is under heavy construction. There's a major naval installation, a burgeoning set of mining operations, and of course the Citadel Inquisitorius itself. All things that you know because they're not public knowledge, but that you've learned from Lady Eldreed spies. So plenty of work for contract laborers if there's somebody with enough friends in high places to get their way there. It's the kind of thing that might be handy for cover identities, forged credentials. So you may want to bear that in mind. They certainly don't have to stand up to the scrutiny that they did on the Gem of Alderaan, but you may want to have something like that in hand and in mind should the time arise to need it. So go on with the explanations.
So what is the time jump on? Was there a time jump? I forget.
I didn't denote one specifically, but we're talking about a light speed jump, you know, like a hyperspace jump. So, and it's a pretty good distance. Let's say in total a day, basically, okay, from the end of the last adventure to you arriving in the Praketh, or the Prak system.
I'll go next. Harani, so one of the new talents that I took is Notorious, which is the text of it, I think, was literally that you are so well known, you know, you've become incredibly well known through the galaxy for not so good deeds. You are notorious. It's pretty self-explanatory. Her bloodlust knows no bounds at this point. Every mission they go on, Harani becomes deeper and deeper entrenched in this hatred and desire for revenge against almost everybody at this point. She paid a lot of money, a lot of good money, to have one of her blasters, as Tanner and I alluded to earlier, to have one of her blasters fashioned into a makeshift blaster / lightsaber from the lightsaber she took from, I don't even remember who she took it from at this point. It was one of the bad Jedis from a while back.
Apprentices.
Yeah,
it was an apprentice.
So I believe it's red, right? Their sabers are also red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's running around with this blaster lightsaber combo, you know, with its red saber, and she just gives an aura of unstable. You know, she is the living embodiment of Kylo Ren's lightsaber. She is just unstable. And whereas people used to see her and smile and find her entertaining and funny, now when they look at her, they're kind of worried because they don't know when she's just going to break. And she's going to, you know, across this entire journey, she started as a pop star who was on a good mission to find a friend. Like, she had a noble mission to find a friend that she had lost. And she took her first life during this mission. She has watched people die. She's now killed an untold amount of people. And all of this has a heavy effect on her and has driven her further and further into this darkness where, you know, she's even, as I know, Sigurd and Cody Zubane, they have sensed that dark side in her. They can tell that something's not right. She even, and I'm sure this is going to come back and haunt me, she named her blaster saber combo, it's Twi'lek, it's Ryle, for Jedi Killer. So she is, she's not all there. She's getting further and further into this. So that's what she's been up to. She's having a good time.
You talking, by the way? I'm listening. I'm going to be back and forth for a second here, but I'm listening.
That is all I've got.
I just love straight up not having a good time, bro.
So as far as that goes, Sigurd, I'm sure, is noticing this is happening. And realizing that he probably needs to find a little bit more of his center because, you know, he was angry when Denia was taken. So realizing that you still have a red lightsaber, he's probably going to try to spend some time with Harani trying to guide her down a better path. Maybe try to find a way to help her learn how to, you know, maybe purify that kyber crystal because, excuse me, that can be done. I think so. I think majority of my time is going to be spent with Hirani.
I think that is an interesting arc where, you know, over the next episode of Sigurd trying to find good in her, trying to lead her down a good path, especially because, you know, a lot of this came from what happened to Sigurd's brother, Kraid. So he kind of has a personal stake in this.
Well, you know, I think that would be one of the things that I would bring up to her is the fact that, look, obviously you're quite upset with what happened with Kraid.
She is.
I like you said, I have a personal interest in this, at the discovery that this person is more than likely my brother. So, you know, this is a project that you and I both can work towards, but we have to work together and we have to do this the right way. But I want to help you on this journey.
This is one of those moments like we do in, when we're playing Xbox and someone says something and we go, are you like in the game or in real life? Because I think that applies to both. We have to work together to craft this storyline.
Por que no las dos?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Lindsay?
Well, you guys are all on your spiritual and emotional journeys. I'm very much more in the meticulous, how are we going to get this done set of mind. So during our jump time, Iris was in contact with some of their contacts from the Resurgence that are more on the military side of things, and was kind of having them help her get more of a tactical understanding to hopefully give us a little bit of an edge on making a plan. And made sure before we left that I got a bigger gun to play with.
I want to throw Muldrake in there with you because he needs something to do.
That he might have been aiding me.
He was aiding you because
plans.
Yeah, because he is an Imperial agent or a former Imperial agent. So we still don't know why he's helping. We haven't even asked because everything's been
but
so
he's
busy.
Helping.
But he's helping, and that's what's important. But that may not be good in the long run. We'll see what happens. But yeah, if we throw him in there and have him help Iris kind of help along with this, since he has so many connections.
So
and
yes, I am definitely being more of the book info side while you guys are being the touchy-feely side.
Oh, no. Hirani only has one emotion right now, and it's My Chemical Romance.
It's rage.
That's her
are
one.
Sure it's not dark blue, sorry.
How do I delete Mom someone said. Else's post?
Mom said it's my turn to use the emo. For the first time between episodes and in a long, long time, Graz does not spend anywhere near as much time with Ronnie as he normally does. And that is purely due to the fact that while I'm sure that Muldrake is very helpful in terms of tacticians, Graz is an actual elite trooper. An actual elite soldier. And so when he sees that Iris has a new toy to play with, he gets very excited about this prospect. Heavy blaster rifle is a hefty piece of equipment. And so his knowledge of how that sort of thing works draws him to... He doesn't spend quite as much time as he normally would, you know, working on the ship and such. He co-pilots and does what he needs to do to keep things on track. But let's say the shooting range gets a workout on the ship this go around, the space that they have to work with.
It helps me make sure I know the maintenance for it.
The whole breakdown
this.
And...
they've splintered a little absolutely. Bit. They've splintered. Hirani and Graz have splintered a little bit. Like, you know, they're growing apart a little. That sounds like good drama.
He's obviously sure. I mean, he's still, you know, there to help and do the things that he does, and still very grateful to her for everything that's happened. But simultaneously, it's there's a thing that he thinks. I think it'd be fair to say that. Well, I don't want to give Graz too much over the top characterization. That he sees that he can't help with some of this. That it's gonna take, you know, someone like Sigurd or even Kurskog to really help with the things that are really getting to Hirani at this point. And so he kind of has to make himself step away, and fortunately gets him immersed in doing something else that's really more his speed.
And
Graz
if his
was
speed...
never really meant to be an elite trooper. No, if it drops below, I think it was called the Wookiee that couldn't slow down. But it's for the first time, he's really kind of feeling like an actual elite trooper. You know, this was always just more about get stronger, get faster, hit harder. But this is even more of a move toward actually being a leader, like a combat leader in some form of fashion. So, yeah, I love this. I love that. What's Cody? What's the bit from Schitt's Creek? I love that journey for you. I love
there it is.
Okay, unless anyone has anything else to add in that time frame.
It's only been a day.
Over the course of about 24 hours.
Busy day.
It's a light speed jump, and it is, people are moving in and out, making sure that Graz is, kind of back and forth as Harati is. I'm sure they're in passing, checking to making sure things are still doing what they're supposed to be doing. Droids are keeping things on target. With the Forge credentials that you guys have in hand, it doesn't really take terribly long, nor is it particularly eventful to get to the edge of the system. Now, the edge is where her credentials deposit you, because anywhere closer would be too suspicious. This allows you to kind of fly casual, as Han might say, in toward your ultimate goal here. If somebody, especially a pilot of sorts, Harani probably would be best for this, can make a quick use computer check for me, please.
Not only am I going to do that, I'm also going to log into Roll 20.
Hey, do that.
That's a good move. That's a good idea. You should do that.
Yeah, give me
good answer.
Shannon,
good answer.
Just
good
to
answer.
Let you know, good, since good I got answer. To add extra stuff, I have a better... It's not better than yours, but if we need backup, I added in use computer and mechanics. So...
use computer, maybe. I know you're not going to do better on mechanics
than
Harani.
No,
that ain't going to happen. Ever.
Yeah,
ever.
Somebody else can make the check if you want, but it would theoretically be someone who is spending more time in the cockpit.
Yeah, so what'd you say you needed? Use computer?
Use computer, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, jumping out of or dropping out of a hyperspace jump, you're going to be making a quick scan. It's just a kind of a routine scan to make once you leave a hyperspace jump to make sure that you are where you want to be and get a bearing on your surroundings.
36.
Oh, yeah, that's plenty good. Lord... So quickly, Harani is able to discern that your ship, that the Midnight Coterie, is the only ship in the immediate area. In general, traffic to and from Prakith, the main planet in the Prax system, is moderate. There are some construction ships heading in and mining vessels heading out. That's most of the major traffic. As you're going through this routine scan, once your ship is detected by the general hyperspace buoy nearby that catches any dropping out ships, it's not a standard message to spacers like a standard metsop that you would get. It's an automated message though that does particularly catch the attention of Muldrake. It is an abrupt speech, and it is dripping with Imperial authority. The message that comes through, and it's an audio message, sounds: attention, attention, all work vessels, immediately set course for Prakith orbit. Do not, repeat, do not deviate from a direct course to Prakith. Straying vessels will be intercepted and boarded by the Imperial Navy. From orbit, utilize your own judgment as to approach vector to Prax City Control, but be advised of no-fly zone 100 kilometers in radius from the Magrador mountain range. Confer with Orbital Buoy on arrival for specific details.
Okay.
I'm going to also need from, it'll be you or Graz, and I promise you yours is better, another quick use computer check at this point.
Yes. I'm a nerd.
We're what?
29.
You're a what? No. What now?
No, sorry. I didn't say nerd. I said a bird. I'm Tony Bird, and this is Pro Horse.
Of course it's Pro Horse.
Pro Horse.
Harani, as soon as you start receiving this message, you're on the search instantly for what the best course would be directly to Prakith orbit. It's going to take you about 3 hours to get there. That's going to be the quickest course. Basically, you're punching in GPS coordinates, and the fastest route is about 3 hours in that direction, pretty much. Setting a course for that, or if you'd like to, you can always look for others if you want, but that's the fastest route to get there.
You guys, yeah, we're good with that. Fastest route.
Okay.
Go fast.
Sounds good.
Go faster.
So the Coterie enters that particular lane. The only vessel that you pass in that time frame is a Mining Guild freighter that is pretty clearly loaded with ore and heading out to the hyperspace lanes. basically the idea is you can tell this place is still clearly a work in progress. At some point in time, it may be a busy city for the Empire, but it is pretty far out there, and it's not exactly heavily populated at the moment. Minutes before, as the ship alerts you, you arrive in the actual Praketh orbit. Graz gets your attention, Harani. He has put on a set of headphones from up front. He can tell that there's something coming through, apparently, because he's trying to get your attention and then put the headphones onto you. Once he manages to rest them at least close to you, you can hear a pretty weak distress call. It's coming out over the basic subspace channels, fading in and out, but once you get basically to the point of the inner moon, you hear someone go, hello? Hello? Looking for some help here. Anyone? This is Jack Sejo of the Good Feeling, just out of Praketh. We're stuck on the inner moon. If anyone can hear me, systems are failing, power, life support, and, you know, some of the important stuff, too. I think we're really in trouble this time. Anyone out there? If you would like to do anything with that, you'll need to make another use computer check.
Harani's going to pause and kind of roll her eyes and go to turn it off and just see Graz's face. And she nods, does it anyway. 39.
Good feeling, which is
39.
You're able to lock onto the signal, even though it is weak. Graz immediately, once he sees that as the case, jumps in and starts fiddling with dials and tweaking some things to basically lock onto that signal to the best ability that you can. It looks like it can be tracked to the inner moon, just outside of Praketh's orbit specifically, or just in that, it's in Praketh's orbit, but just outside of the actual planet. It's clear that the Good Feeling, what little information you get from locking onto that, is a, let me put it this way for those who can see it, a star-class yacht.
he did air quotes.
Dubious quality. What image you can get of it or what information you get of it is that this thing is, a term that Dalton will appreciate, kitbashed. It is put together. It's not clear what ship it was originally, but probably even on the whole, the Good and the Feeling came from two different ships. It just happens to be that they put those two parts together in the end. The ship's gazetteer says that Praketh's center moon has no atmosphere and gravity that is low, but just enough to keep the planet, the ship itself, from escaping its current condition. As you're in the midst of your decision making, Graz starts and pressing, you know, his little vocoder buttons, and basically, I need help. He points back to the original message that you received, because of course now it's come through in text form, that says no course deviations. So in essence, you have a decision to make. Would you like to make your way to the inner moon? And try to rescue the crew with a Good Feeling, or would you like to continue on to Prax City Control?
Look, Harani may be deep in her AFI albums.
Harani, like, you know, how do you truly feel about it? You want to help them?
She does want to help them. She's pissy at the world, but she still values human life. Or alien life, or, you know, whatever life.
Sentient life.
Definitely not the things that, the one, oh God, Fly, the Fly. What was his name? I can't remember his name.
Greedo.
Oh. Jesus. What are they called?
Rodians.
Rodians.
She doesn't really value them because they're just giant flies.
They're actually called Goldblooms.
The Goldbloom race.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just the Fly. It's the first thing that came to mind. What do you think of Star Wars?
But yeah, we'll help them.
Graz starts punching in some radio coordinates or some transponder coordinates for Prax City Control, and then basically looks at you and hits dial and then kind of points at you, Harani. In other words, he's contacting Prax City Control so you can tell them what you're doing. So, someone comes through a moment later. You know, Prax City Control, state your business.
Oh, you're looking at me here.
Graz is literally looking around and everybody like, I need help. I need help.
No, no, no.
Lindsay, you do it. You jump in here. You jump in. Look, I'm pressing buttons and rolling things. You can. Okay. You're the leader. Harani is very quiet at this point.
We have picked up a distress call from the inner moon of a ship that has crashed and individuals that need help. We want to deviate from our current course to give them aid.
Yeah, good answer. Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer.
Can you identify the ship or any of its crew?
The ship gave us the identification of the Good Feeling, and I'm going to look at Harani here.
You hear the guy just start laughing at the moment that you mentioned the Good Feeling, and then sort of turn back to him. You hear him go, "See, Jill, again? I don't believe that guy." He says, wait, yeah, no, never mind, I do believe it. You got a real live one there. You guys heard about disasters waiting to happen? Jack Sejo is the one that already has. Oh. You can tell him the NCOM guys are done with him. Let him rot. A beat passes, and then he says, hold on a second. All right, I've been informed that Sejo's got some sub-pro engineers aboard, and they would actually like them back. He's in luck, I guess, which is more than I can say for you. You are authorized, if you want, to divert to Moon Praketh 1 and render aid. Over and out. And as the signal is fading out, you hear in the distance, "Hey, Irvin, get this. Sejo wrecked another one."
I appreciate
how comms went from imperial professionalism to within 10 seconds completely jackass level. Like, what the fuck?
Y'all ain't gonna believe this shit.
Just think of the troopers in The Mandalorian when they like had the bag with Grogu in it.
Grogu.
You don't like that, do you?
I don't like the name, and I don't like Kyle Mooney playing him.
No.
No one likes that.
The worst.
Okay.
Well, let's go help this walking disaster then.
Floating disaster. Yeah, so what are we talking about?
So with everyone locked onto the, or with the ship locked onto the signal, Graz takes control and steers you out of course. Fortunately, not setting off any warning alarms and heading off toward the moon. The moon. How do they denote it? Moon Praketh 1 is as much like Earth's moon as you're going to see in this. It is barren. It is desolate. Again, there's no atmosphere. And the gravity is very low, but enough to keep a ship from floating away, basically, now that it is landed there. Once you guys approach, once the crew approaches and the ship approaches in particular, you can see that the Good Feeling, which you can now actually get a visual on, is quite literally a little more than a jalopy pieced together from just bits and parts of old ships. In general, the good news is it requires only one pilot, but it operates best. You only need one pirate.
Only one pirate.
A whole group of them.
It just needs Hondu.
But it would operate best with an army of mechanics. Because in general, it's not in the best shape.
I'm a mechanic.
It hasn't so much crash landed as it is just not, obviously, up and moving. The guys that are once you approach the moon surface, you can see nobody is actually outside the ship. Again, they're staying outside for what little life support is left. So how you would like to approach from there is up to you. I will leave it up to you guys as to what you want to do.
I guess hail them by communique.
Oh, it looks like they're receiving some kind of communique. Yeah, you can do so. You're close enough now that the signal is strong.
It just says, "Ahoy, motherfuckers." She doesn't say that.
Please do, though.
She just gets on there and just says, like, "Are you still alive?"
Yeah.
You hear Sejo come through and he's like, "Is that? Oh my god, somebody actually came. Yes, please, we need help. With everything, all of it. We need all the help right now.
Send all the ambulances.
Send all the ambulances. Yeah.
send them all because I'm actually already dead. I put a book in the oven instead of a turkey. Classic Duros move." They'll set it up so that
we gotta do something, I guess.
Right.
They'll set it up so that you can actually dock with the ship. They do apparently have enough internal power left for that so that you can actually connect your docking bay to theirs.
Yes, we will do that and say, you know, I'm coming to save the lot of you.
All right.
And the wee turtles.
The wee turtles.
All right, having done so, once the docking bays are connected and the doors open up so that you guys can meet up with these guys, Jexy Joe is the first person who you run into. A very chirpy, a very upbeat Doros. Not the traditional blue. He's actually like a shade of green. You guys know the Doros, right? The big eyes kind of look like the little green man type.
Yep.
Cad Bane.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. But he's green as opposed to blue. There's four of his associates with him, all of which in turn will kind of quickly introduce themselves as engineers that are working at the Imperial testing grounds on the outer moon. Two of them are Incom subcontractors, and two work for Subpro. But again, they're all engineers. None of them are technicians. They know a lot about designing starships and next to nothing about actually flying or fixing them.
So what the hell were you boys doing out here?
They have the talent, but not the tools, put it this way. Jack is quick to basically speak up for everybody, saying that the gist was that they were on their way in, pretty much, and that they, with their ship being in such poor condition that he doesn't want to admit it that way, but it's, you know, bevy of issues. I mean, you as a technician and a mechanic get the idea pretty quickly. This guy didn't know what the hell he was doing. He was in over his head, transporting people he should not have been. And not to mention, since the issue, whatever issue or issues have reared their head with the ship is ongoing, the big problem for Jack, of course, is that he left his toolkit on Breaketh. Classic Jexy Joe move.
Yeah.
You
were legend for that one, fam.
Wow.
While you guys are in the midst of this conversation, do me a favor real quick, and everybody make a perception check, please. I'm going to grab a tissue and blow my nose real fast.
Time to use... Oh, it's force persuasion, not force perception.
Okay, what am I rolling?
Perception. Woo, 32. Okay. I'm perceptive.
Well, I typed it wrong, so it's unrecognizable.
Hell yeah.
One of these weeks, I'll do this properly from the get-go. Yeah.
You won't.
30, 20.
20. Same. Dirty.
Okay.
Oh. Damn. Hey. Oh, nat 20.
Oh.
I got a 32. Tanner got a 36 with a nat 20.
Okay. Hirani, you and Jack are engaged in conversation enough that basically you pretty much get the glow of this guy. Like he's one of those classic in over his head types. Constantly making apologies, constantly trying to weave in and out of the conversation, never really telling the truth. Like you can tell that much about him. Not like he's actively trying to deceive you. He's the kind of guy who would lie when the truth sounds better. He's a what's the term? Something liar. Cody, help me.
Pants on fire. I mean,
pathological.
I don't know.
Pathological. That's what I wanted.
They just do it out of instinct, whether they mean to or not.
Yeah, he's constantly inflating the situation. He's constantly saying stuff that does not add up, contradicting himself like sentences later. And so it's a little distracting. But fortunately, Sigurd, of course, is a bit equally perceptive, but is not actively engaged in conversation with this guy, so he's able to kind of take in the surroundings a little better than the rest. Sigurd, you notice that of the five people here, one of the engineers only briefly turns his attention toward you all. He's working at a console, and you can see that the console he's working at displays a ship design that does not even remotely look familiar to you. It looks like a forced marriage of an old Z-95 Headhunter, like the burgeoning X-Wing, basically, and an ARC 170, the classic old Clone War ships. He's not really hiding it, but he's also kind of like he'll work, and then he looks back at you guys, and then he'll go back to work, and then he looks at you guys. It's a little odd. It catches your attention. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Just so you know.
What was you said the headhunter? What was the other one?
An Arc 170. So, if I remember correctly, Yoda's ship, like the ship he flies during the Clone Wars, his little personal ship. Okay. I think it is. I'm going to look that up just to make sure, but I'm almost positive. Yep, that's what it is. Aggressive Reconnaissance 170 Starfighter. That's what the ARC
is. I didn't know what it stood for. I didn't know that actually was an abbreviation of anything, so nice.
Yeah. Okay.
That's,
correct.
That's cool.
Yes. Very good. In the midst of all of this taking place, Groz has been making his way around the ship, and it ain't great. He comes back to kind of report quietly, without even using his little panel. Just he keeps looking around. There's little fires, you know, sparking from places. Sparks on, obviously, popping out occasionally. Certainly stuff that is not going to make it easy for you to get this ship up and running again. But anyone who would like to try, will need to make a mechanics check to do so.
I will try.
Please do.
Harani is bored with the Duros talking, and she just says, "Get out me way."
Are you a pirate now? What the?
She is. That's the Amazons. She is.
They like, come and me one fix ship.
30. Dirty 30.
Okay. Yeah, in the time that it takes for Jack to get through all of his ridiculousness and for Sigurd to notice this guy working at this console, you managed to, between you and Groz, you managed to go around and put out the little fires basically everywhere. Repair enough of the basics to, this thing will get up and running. It doesn't look any prettier than it did before, but it's certainly going to move such that you don't have to tow it off the planet, and these guys can make their way down to the base. He's very, of course, immediately grateful, shaking hands. He also, in the midst of that, receives a call on a comm, like a head-based comm. Comes back afterward and starts making his apologies, trying to basically escort everyone to the airlock toward your ship, saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry, but I've got a message from my employers, and I really need to get up and running. I thank you so much for your help. I mean, if you're ever in Prax City, look me up. I do a lot of thinking at the Motherlode Cantina. You know, maybe we can talk hyperspace theory sometime. And you gotta tell me again how he says to you, Harani, how you got the thingy back there to do the thing, and you know why you got it to do what you got it to do." He's trying to hustle you off the ship, basically.
We ain't welcome any longer. We served our purpose.
I wonder if there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I would say Harani would actually ask him, you know, like, why so quick? Like, let's kick back, have a drink.
He's instantly visibly sweating. Because there's no hair to hide it. Like, you actually see the bead, like, seep out right above his eye and then just start dripping. No, I would love to, but, you know, the cantina, they got the best Bantha Fizz. You're going to love it. You gotta meet me there sometime. We will definitely meet there. The engineers now are obviously a little concerned about him, and they seem to be 50-eyed looking over toward him regularly.
Sigurd stands up and in a very demanding tone tells him to sit down.
Okay. You wanna make an intimidation check for that for me?
Yeah, let me see what that is for me real quick.
It's a form of persuasion. So you'll make a persuasion check.
Okay.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Can I boost him with that? Can I help him with that?
Well, let my roll 20 not be
a good cop, bad cop. Good Twi'lek, bad human.
Yeah, you can try. Are you wanting to also intimidate, or are you wanting to like change his attitude?
I'll play the good cop and try to change it. If Sigurd is being a jerk to him, Harani will try to use.
I'm not really being a jerk. I'm being more of the.
You're being forceful. You know,
intimidating.
Right. So Harani will be more of the. You know, reassuring. She's going to use her feminine, wily charms to try to convince him that, you know, hey, this guy is crazy. Talk to me. Are you okay? Kind of thing.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'm here for it.
Okay, someone kind of roll for me. Mine's a plus 11, and roll 20's got to reload for me.
I got you.
I got it.
You got it, Cody?
I'll do it.
Okay. I got a 33, by the way.
17 plus 11, so that's 28 total. Okay. Yeah, basically between the two of you, Jack is very clearly feeling the pressure. He listens to Sigurd immediately, backs up into a chair. As soon as Harani gets his attention and things seem to be going better, he says, "Oh, thanks. Somebody reasonable. Listen, guys, I really appreciate your help. I wish I had something more to offer you right now. I promise you, I'll be in touch with whatever I can offer. But I really got to get these guys out of here." At that point, one of the engineers actually speaks up and says, "See, Joe, are we ready to go or what?" And he looks back. "Hey, yeah, I'm working on it, guys. Just 1 second, please. Just a whole parsec. I'm getting there."
I like to think that Sigurd would go full Sam Jackson from Pulp Fiction, turn to him and go, "I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing."
"Say what one more time?"
"He said, fucker, do you speak it?"
does he have Sigurd, a cheeseburger? Sigurd,
no. Sigurd, you would notice now that the engineer who was working on that console has started some sort of download process. And it looks like the bar has basically finished. As soon as it does, he hits a power button off. It turns that console off and starts walking away.
Okay.
Harani would once again ask him, you know, and try to change his attitude again. Like, convince him why such a hurry? Like, you know, we just rescued you. Let's kick back and have a drink. You got a moment for a drink, right? Like, what's the big rush?
He starts watching now the engineer specifically who's walking away. In fact, he's not even looking to you as he talks, and he says, "Oh, you know, these engineers and their work." He's watching him walk away. You know, it's the you know these guys, right? This guy.
And then at that point, Harani gets bored of it and whips out the red lightsaber and turns it on.
Hey, whoa,
subtle.
Oh, she's done with subtle.
Oh.
It just says, it points it at that guy and says, "Stop.
Harani, what did we talk about this entire trip here?"
"Okay.
Oh, no."
So,
let's have some adventure, guys. Come on.
We're not going to start any initiative. None of these guys, I will tell you immediately, it's clear none of them are armed. The engineers, hands up instantly, but they are stone-faced. Seijo now not only just has the dripping line here, but his pants are visibly wet. No. Oh, yeah.
No!
Yeah, it has spread there as well.
I'd like to take back my turn.
Oh, it's too late for that. You made a call. It's done. It's out there. He immediately starts chattering about, look, the Deep Scout. It's a design. Subpro and Incom are working on it jointly on the outer moon of Prakith. And he gets that much out of his mouth before that one of the engineers, in fact, it's the one who was walking away from the console, even with his hands up, shouts Seijo's name and says, "You're hanging by a thread as it is, Jack." Seijo is now blushing. That shade of green has turned a more natural shade of blue for a Duros. And he, you got a point there, buddy. And they're all just basically held at bay.
Harani is going to whisper to Iris, "What do I do now?"
Sigurd steps in and says, "Put that thing away."
"What do?"
"Well, unless you guys have a Jedi mind roid wipe trick."
Mind roids. That's a
mind wipe.
Harani's gonna look at him and just turn it off and say, "Yeah, I don't know. I found this. I didn't know if you knew what the hell this was. It looks like a flashlight, but it burns."
"Ooh, I didn't know that did that."
Yeah.
No. Never seen any of those before. It's all I can think of is that scene from Waiting where the guy comes around the corner and Justin Long's like hacking at the ice. "Hey, do you ever just feel like a piece of shit?" "Yeah, buddy, I get it. Can we put down the ice pick, please?"
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
My conference.
So If you guys don't mind, we'll just be on our way then.
Right, says,
I mean, they're gonna rat. Like,
give me just one second, one more second. She's gonna turn to the group real quick and say, "Deep Scout, what do we do with that? What do we do, Jedi's? What do we do?"
Kruskal just stares blankly at her. He wants, again, as often happens with Kruskal, he wants no part of today's events. He's just kind of here. How are we gonna get killed on my day off, Craig?
My instincts say kill them.
No!
Your judgment says don't.
Oh, God, you're crazier than me.
Do we have a holding cell or something somewhere?
We do have a holding cell on the coterie, if I remember correctly.
Except that they know we're getting these people.
It holds one.
Ouch.
How many of them
are
there?
It's enough for one. There are five of them total. Four engineers and then Jack himself.
Damn it, Harani.
The Jack himself.
Well, we do have a chattery or a chatty engineer that we may want to have with us if we're going to take one.
I feel like taking anybody hostage might not be a great idea, and I'm the king of bad ideas.
You don't say. You don't say.
Our wild card was already a little too wild today.
Wild card. We could always just throw our hands up and say, well, we don't want to keep you any longer, and we could, you know, skedaddle.
Oh God! I'm to give a character. I'm burning through all my force powers trying to think of what I could use in this situation because I've got a couple ideas, but I don't have them yet.
Well, I got a gun. So.
Well, I feel like we're at a standstill then, aren't we? I feel like I've made the situation awkward, and I would like to apologize.
You've made the situation bad.
I'd like to apologize. We'll get out of your hair. We'll let you guys go. But before we go, just really quick, what is the Deep Scout? You said Deep Scout. Now, all I can think about is Deep Scout, Deep Scout. I'm trying to remember what I had to do for the rest of the day because we were on our way to do something. But now I just keep in my head, it keeps repeating, Deep Scout, Deep Scout, Deep Scout. And I feel like I got to know what that is or I will literally go insane.
Jack just keeps looking back at all the engineers and every face that he catches, they're all going, And he looks back and he's like, people say things in moments of concern. I don't even know what even is that. I don't know. You said it first. That's circular use.
While they're having this, is there any way to if Harani, does she have the ability to hack into any of these systems just with any kind of data pad to get this download that he had? Like, can she sneak that out without them knowing, or would she have to go to the actual computer and do it?
I mean, you could try doing something remotely if you want. Are you going to try to hide from them that that's what you're doing?
My plan was basically to tell, Sigurd and Iris and Kruskog to, talk to them, distract them, keep them sweating a little bit while she kind of steps over, turns her back to him a little bit, and just says, oh, I got to take this call, pulls out her thing, and, type.
I mean...
Yeah, you can try, but it's going to require both a stealth check and a use computer check. They're going to be relatively hefty because these guys have their... I mean, granted, they can't do anything. They're very much feeling like they're held at bay here, but they're watching you like hawks.
Well, I do have a skill called Master Negotiator. Let me ask, because I don't know if we've necessarily explored it in terms of how the game works for this. Is there a physical impact on someone being taken down the condition track? Like, is there, if I use a force power to do so, is there an appearance change or something that...
No, I mean, it depends on what's being done to them. The condition track is a very open thing, so sometimes it's a physical wound, sometimes it's a mental hampering, basically, I guess. The only time that it becomes extremely visible is if they're knocked all the way down, at which point they're knocked unconscious.
Right.
And all then right. Obviously you would see them fall unconscious.
So, Chatty Cathy back there, the engineer who did the download, while Harani is doing her thing, Kruskog is going to... At this point, I've kind of pictured myself being at the back of the periphery, kind of letting Rambo over there do what she's going to do and clearly already done. I would like to make my way to the front of the gathering, kind of make myself known, and look specifically at the engineer in the back and say, you... Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, I want to point out that I want you guys to know I don't do these things because I think it's a good idea. I do it because I think it fits her character. That is a true story.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe as Kruskog that Harani does things that's going to get him killed on his day off.
Yes. I just want you to know that Shannon isn't trying to do that. I'm not trying to get you killed. Just want you to know that. Okay.
So whilst Harani is he kind of can pick up a little bit and see what she's going to be trying to do here. She's trying to stall for time, and he picks up on that enough to step to the front of the periphery. And I would like to look at the engineer in question and say, you, sir, you've spoken about something that has piqued our interest. I would like to maybe take a moment of your time and gain more about what this deep space is.
And while he's doing that, Harani does indeed want a stealth, and then you save a stealth and then use computer?
Yep, I need both.
Okay, I would do want to do that.
Kruskog, I'm going to tell you, this guy is going to tell you straight up, I don't have anything to say. And last I checked, you guys were just here to help us. We appreciate the help, but I have nothing to share with you. That's private information. It's classified.
I mean, that's fine, but if I use the force persuasion, it's going to at least give it a shot. That's okay. I doubt I get anything out of it, to be honest. All of this is a delay tactic.
Cody, right. This is a new season. This is a new role. New roles for Cody. New roles for Kruskog.
Kruskog system. Attack. No,
we're changing it. Oh, I saw it hit that one. I saw it hit one, and I went, no. Not now.
So the whole point of this is it would go against their will defense. If they're a level higher than me, they get a +5 to that will defense.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you win the role in terms of that, but in terms of like what he has to share, he's, I guess, intimidated, for lack of a better term. He's not particularly persuaded.
If I were to give any like insight into, because Kruskog knows, he's been around enough these situations, thanks to our compatriots on the Coterie, that he knows there's probably no real way to gain advantage in this. It's going to take, if the role wins, it's going to take this person 2 down the condition track. It's almost as much trying to serve as a shot across the bow to the rest of the Duros in there and be like, I don't have to physically do anything to be involved here, but I very much would like to know what you're going to offer us in the way of information for us being so kind as to divert ourselves from our designated path to help you in a moment of need.
Okay. I mean, he's intimidated, I guess, or persuaded, whichever way you want to look at it. Intimidation is the way it more looks, not necessarily because of what you're like threatening him with, but the fact that he opens up enough at this point and says, kind of under his breath, look, man, you're going to get us all killed. If I say anything, you're going to get us all killed. You need to let this go.
That's when she hacks.
Okay.
I have a destiny, right?
Yeah.
Get it ready. All right, here's the stealth. Here's the stealth.
Well.
When you say
it ain't great.
When you say it's hefty, how hefty?
I mean, you're in a room of people who were all just very aware that you had a lightsaber, which is something everyone knows about.
Just use the destiny point. Let's just use it. I'm gonna use it.
Okay. All right.
Assuming
it's like it's your key. It's like it's your key, Signora. You're the one everybody's looking at. You're the only focal point of attention.
I just want to have one cool moment.
Look. I'm gonna save you some trouble here. Don't spend that destiny point.
Oh God.
Kruskog has them suppressed enough that even if they see you doing it, there's really nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do to stop you. And they all know who you are at this point. So, like, being sneaky, you can only be so sneaky about it. If you didn't want them to know you were taking it, that's one thing. You're welcome to do it that way. But they all know that you were here. And if this information gets out in any form or fashion, they're going to know it was you. So... Yeah.
All right, then she's just going to flat out.
Already on the most wanted list anyway.
She's, yeah, so instead, let's.
You guys still are.
Scratch that. She's just going to look straight at him, pull out her device, and say that she's going to take it from them and that she's going to take it with her. And if they say anything about them being there, she will release it and they will all be dead.
I mean, their ship all just right. might not make it off the moon once we get off of it.
Yeah, like we're not.
They are.
She's gonna.
Kruskog's pulled his hood up.
She's gonna tell them straight up, like, we're not gonna use this against you. But I am curious, and if you say anything, then we will use it against you.
Okay. They're like.
Or do I have to roll for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, well, you can take 10 on it. What's your use computer bonus?
20.
Yeah, and in time you're able to do it anyway.
Okay.
There's a lot of very quiet tension around the room. These guys know better at this point than to try anything. But the one that Kruskog spoke with as you finish up does actually is bold enough to go over like near you. He's not clearly working with any purpose or anything other than to speak. He even keeps his hands up, but he just says specifically, please don't get us killed. That's all I ask.
She nods at him and says, I'm not going to get you killed. That's not what we do. And honestly, she says that sincerely.
He has nothing more to say to that.
And on that note, I think we thank them for their time. We tip our hats to them and we remind, and she reminds them as she leaves. She just turns the lightsaber on one more time and says, don't say anything. And then turns it back off. And, they go.
Rhino!
I was muted, but I will again say aloud, for fuck's sake. Okay. For the record, Graz never came along for this. I mean, somebody had to stay with the control of the ship, so he's still up there. So,
If you
want to leave the ship, you're able to do so. The airlocks are still connected.
Well, I'm going to get us killed really quick. Yeah, let's go. I think it's time to go.
I'm going back to the coterie and making a point to go down to the gunner's chair just in case something goes horribly wrong after this. Okay.
Ronnie, once you leverage. Make your way back to the...
I mean, if they send someone.
Well, they can't send anybody, though, because we will release this information. Sorry, Hunter. Sorry.
Okay. Graz does not... I mean, he was, you know, not there, so he... Rather than hitting his buttons, he just... questioning.
Everything went great. We got some cool information, maybe. I need to check my pad. Let's continue on while I check this.
Okay. So the good feeling decouples from the ship. You hear that it has sealed away. Graz punches a few things to seal the airlock. And as he kind of turns the coder around to see, like basically aim toward the ship, their ship, there's an awkward moment where it looks like it's actually going to collide into you because as it fires up, it sounds horrible. It kind of lurches to the left, but then he manages to steer it back, apparently. Somebody gets control of it, and it just sort of basically clears the surface and putters its way back out toward the outer moon. It never jumps to any kind of speed because it's close enough that it can just do that. But I mean, it's this again. It's a jalopy as it takes off.
Needs to put that ship out of its misery.
It's in pretty bad shape. As it is flying away, I need anybody. I guess at this point it'd just be Graz and Harani. Well, and Iris too, based on the way that you said it. Anybody who is looking at the ship flying away to make a perception check, please. That's for Graz.
30.
Okay.
19. Iris.
Okay. Harani, you notice as their ship is taking off that something's odd about it. There's an odd shadow on the back of the ship, and it's difficult to see, so instinctively you pull up the view screen, to enhance the image. It looks like... I'll just drop it in the chat here so you can see it. It looks like this.
Ew!
Oh, good.
Wait, that looks familiar. That looks familiar.
Uh-huh.
That's probably fine.
Uh-huh.
Is that a Minock?
That would be a Minock. Yes, it is. And there is one that you can see that is connected to the back of their ship as they fly away.
Can we jump on the comms and tell them you've got a Minoc on your back?
You can try. Draining their power.
Yeah, she's gonna try to hail them. That's a Star Trek term, and let them know this.
They do not accept that message. They do not open a communication channel. Jaxijo is not interested in receiving your messages, it seems.
Can't blame him.
And he shall die out there.
That's one way for him to
shoot at it and draw its attention to us. That's not happening.
I mean, just let it go its course, and that's one way to cover up our tracks. Just saying.
Listen to this guy. The Jedi. That's one way to cover up our tracks.
No, that's not the Jedi. That's Tanner. That's Tanner. There's a difference.
Is it?
Yes.
It's almost like there's a dark side score in this game or something. And this guy keeps finding his way into it.
Oh.
You tried. They didn't answer.
Knock on wood. I've yet to gain a dark side point.
I want to get. Oh, I've got a couple. Harani's going to ask Iris. You think you can bullseye that thing off their ship as we fly away?
I can try, but I'm not going to promise. I'm not going to accidentally hit their ship if they go funky in their flying.
That'd be a bad idea, probably, because they would probably think we're just shooting at them at that point.
Or if we don't get it and it gets in attention, that ship's falling apart and about dead to go. It's going to come where there's more power.
Bye, Duros. I don't know what else to do. All right, look, I tried. Harani tried.
Did you, though?
I'd like to use my destiny point to change how this entire show's going.
I mean, unless you want to attempt to hail them again, that maybe if it's... Can you send them a text hail rather than...
Just text them, yeah. Wait, can one of the Jedi use the Jedi power to, like, tell them through Jedi, like...
I do not have mind link or anything like that. The closest thing I have is far-seeing.
Yeah, I don't have anything like that, so...
Whatever he said.
All right, well, I guess there...
Sounds like he's got some power couplers that need reconnecting over there.
I guess they're fucked then. I don't know what else to do for them. She's got try to hail them one more time.
No response.
Yeah, don't know. Don't know what to do then.
I mean, literally the only thing I can do is far seeing, and all that would do would give me a sense of whether they're alive or dead, a vague sense of their immediate surroundings, what they're currently doing, and any strong emotions they're presently feeling, which...
Anger.
Yeah, I'll say, I feel like they're not even
that far away, man. You can still see the ship.
So close
seeing. Far-seeing implies that they're not, yeah.
Right.
Binoculars.
Look out the window, dude.
Can we shoot the thing without damaging them?
No.
Again, that's just going to feel like we're shooting them, man. Yeah.
You can try, no. But it would be an extremely cold shot.
Yeah, no, no.
No, thank you.
The DC of that is not going to be low. Let's just put it that way.
We're already probably going to run across the Empire based upon how everything's gone. The last thing we need is to be actively disarming and disabling a ship.
Agreed. Let's go. Let's go. Gruzz.
We got them off the planet. That's what we said we were going to do. I'm sorry, the moon. That's what we said we were going to go do. Let's just go get back in line.
She promised them she wasn't going to get them killed. She's they had an understanding, so let's fly away.
Kind of fulfilling that promise.
She didn't get them killed. She did not control the Minox yet. She doesn't have that power yet. Someday. So
all right, so plan to leave then.
Hunter hates us. I can tell.
No, I'm kidding. No, not at all. I'm good. I love it. I love when you guys drive the narrative. I just give you the pieces. You decide what to do with them.
Yeah,
I don't want to blow them up, and I don't want the Minoc to come to our ship. So,
yeah, I wish there was something we could do for them, but like, I don't know. They're not listening to us. They got nothing, man. So I guess fly away, and I want to check my data pad. I want to see what the hell they were talking about.
Okay. Groz will then start the power cycle and everything, gets ready for takeoff.
Son of
shit,
a bitch.
We got one, too.
Something's wrong.
Mother.
Hey, Ronnie, do me a favor and make a knowledge check real quick, if you would, please.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah. Well, I guess it doesn't matter what particular thing, is it? It's just one all thing.
Yeah, because you got the educated deal.
25.
While you're doing so, Graz is like actively fiddling with levers and switches. Something is wrong. And it's in that moment that three things happen. Number one, the ship's entire power shuts down. Everything goes to black inside the coterie. Number two, Harani, you remember Minox move in swarms. And number three, at once, one of them attaches immediately right to the glass in front of you and Graz. And that's where we're going to cut it off for tonight.
Mother.
She just nods. She just nods like, yeah, this sounds right. Yeah.
This is my
that's
day.
It.
So even if I would have tried to fire, the ship was going to power down anyways, so it wouldn't matter.
We couldn't do anything. Ugh.
Oh, that's not true at all. You could have done a lot of things.
All right. Could have failed.
What?
That's where I'll start hating you, because I give you a million options. Mm-hmm. What happens is up to you. It's up to you. To you. All right, guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us for the latest edition of the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance campaign here on PZ85 Plays. We'll be back next week. Whether it's Tuesday or not is up for debate. We'll talk about that soon. But we will be back next week with another installment of Episode 9, The Sword of the Empire. Until then, Shannon, tell them what else is going on this week. Never mind, I got it. Nothing.
Hey, a damn
happy
thing.
Thanksgiving.
Well,
yeah.
Well, actually.
Well.
Well,
gonna do a new show?
There will be a new episode of No Turning Back on Friday. So in between Thanksgiving and CCW on Saturday, I will do a new show on Friday because there is stuff to talk about. I want to talk about the horrific parade crash that happened yesterday. By then, the Aubrey verdict should be in, and I'm sure I'll have fun talking about that. So there's going to be plenty to talk about. So that's going to be Friday, No Turning Back. And then also, I'm sure they're going to do an episode, Nerdiest Part of the Ring, Asa and Dalton's new pro wrestling podcast that they did. Go check them out as well. They're probably going to have a new episode, so keep up with them. Otherwise, yeah, we're done for the week. We'll be back next week with all new episodes. We're going to have officially announcing it right now. Hunter, can I announce it? Can I announce it right now?
Yes. I don't know what it is, but yes.
We're bringing Horse Time back for a special Saturday Night Live episode with myself and Hunter and Kaz and Cody, I believe we desperately want on. That will be a lot of fun. But that'll be next week or the week after. So this week, No Turning Back on Friday. Probably a new Nerdiest Side of the Ring. Otherwise, have a happy Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen.
I have only briefly mentioned it a couple of times here. I've alluded to it, but since we're doing announcements, why not? I'm going to put this out there too, because I'm almost done with it. I've been working on this for a while. When we sort of mixed up everything that was happening with Podzilla, and again, you know, this show, for the record, enjoy Dawn of Defiance, because when it's over, that may be the end. I haven't decided if we're going to keep streaming or what. We're still planning on playing it together as a group, but we have not figured out how that's going to go. What I am doing, and what is kind of in line with, you know, Asa and Dalton coming up with a whole new wrestling show, and Shannon doing his own show, I had a story that has been, or an idea anyway, has been bouncing around in my head for a while. Two of them, one of which we have not actually talked about yet, but that's still in the works. I think I want to start that in January. You guys know what that's all about.
It's still in play, yeah.
Arguably entertaining. I think we want to start that in January after the holidays.
Revamping the entire network.
Yes. Well, in line with that, I started working on a solo thing myself, actually. That is, it's meant to be more of a podcast. It will not be visual. It's more of a traditional scripted type podcast. If you like lore, if you like the way that a show like Lore is laid out, I think you'll like this, especially if you're fans of pop culture, because you're here, and I know you are. It's called The Inquest, and it is something that I am doing about just various moments in pop culture that I think need attention and need discussing. So the very first episode I've been writing for off and on a couple of weeks now, it's about the rise and fall of the Game of Thrones show and how that came to an abrupt halt when it ended. And I've almost got it finished, and so since I have some time this week, I'm planning on tomorrow and Thursday, finishing hammering that out. I don't know how often it's going to be a thing that I do. Probably maybe, you know, once a month for the time being, since it takes a while to research and put together. Because it is fully scripted, but yeah, it's something I'm planning on doing. So I'll just tack that on at the end here. Another thing that we're introducing.
You know,
introducing
you know why? Well, you know what fucking drives me crazy about all this? Is like, this is what I wanted for the network to begin with, was everyone having their own stuff and putting it on one place for everybody. And it wasn't until we decided to split apart and do our own separate things that the full network realization came to be. But not together.
I was thinking about that the other day. I mean, it is. We're pretty much putting it all in the same place. You were talking about moving everything to kind of just posting in the same Podbean, and I was going to see if I could just do it through the PC85 stuff. So,
it would be easier.
Yeah, I mean, if it would be easier and it's going to be cheaper, I think it just makes more sense to do it that way. But yeah, I was legitimately thinking about it. It took us, like, bombing everything and blowing it up to then go,
Channing,
all right, what do we do in the wake?
Quit enough.
What do we do in the wake of that, you know?
What do we do in the wake of it? We do what we were going to do in the first place. Hey, that's a great idea.
Do it the right way.
Do it the right way, yeah.
Well, don't worry. There's also more good news. On Sundays, Easy 85 Sports is not coming back.
Oh.
I haven't watched a fucking sporting event in 3 years.
Damn it.
Oh, Cody. That's not good news.
But you can.
Funny, though. Okay. That was a great delivery.
You can check out.
Three, go on to.
You can check out Cody's new medical podcast called Stick It In Me, Prick It In Me. Stick It In Me, Prick It In Me. Be My Vaccination, coming soon to PZ85.
Oh, that's it. That's all we got, guys. That's all. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Until then, for Shannon, for Lindsay, for Cody, and for the wayward Tanner, I am your Game Master Double H. May the Force be with you. We'll see you next week. Later.